This is Christian Questions.
Plato once said, "We can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, Talk Radio with a Purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, your mic's not working. I'll bet you're going to tell me that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
How did you know?
You know, some things I just know. And Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
And you can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
All right, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And you are harried, but you are Jonathan.
And I'm on the other side of the table to get a different mic.
And folks, we're truly glad you've chosen to spend some time with us on this fine Sunday morning. So, Jonathan, what's happening? What's our subject this morning? We've got an interesting subject. You know, last week was all about a lot of darkness and clouds and storms.
It was intense.
A world of chaos.
Yes.
What's the subject today?
Well, it's a little lighter, Rick.
That's good.
How bright is the light of your life? And our theme text is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's just an inspiring scripture. And we want to figure out what that actually means, because that's Jesus speaking to his disciples and giving them a really massive responsibility there. Here's the thing. Our world is in great need of many things. We need to learn to listen to those with whom we disagree. We need to be merciful and understanding. And yet we also need to be firm and just. We also need to find light. Not just any light. We need to find the purest, life-giving, and revealing light of truth that is available. Now, as Christians, we know that the light of the world is Jesus. But what we need to learn is how to use that light, how to be clear reflections of that light, and how to be worthy vessels of that light. So, Jonathan, today it's all about light.
Yes, it is.
And the interesting thing about this subject, about our look at light this morning, is when we look at, there's hundreds of scriptures that talk about light. And they really fall into several major types of categories. And in the preparation for the program this week, you know, looking at all these scriptures, it becomes obvious that every scripture that talks about light isn't talking about the same thing.
Well, that's interesting.
It is. And so this is the Light Up Your Life Christian Questions broadcast this morning, and I'm not going to sing that song. You remember that song from years ago?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
That was like that song, like, You Light Up My Life. Debbie Boone, I think, sang it.
I think you're right.
And it came on, it took the world by storm, and like every other song on the radio was You Light Up My Life, and then it crashed and burned, and nobody ever played it again. Well, this is not that kind of light, okay? The kind of light we're talking about is the light of Christ, and we want to look at the building blocks of lighting up our lives in a Christian fashion. And Jonathan, it seems like there are four light up your life building blocks. What are they? Let's list them out to begin with.
Well, the first is light. Find it and identify what kind of light will guide your life.
Because the fact is, there's lots of different kinds of light.
And the second is learn how to use that light.
So once you find it, you learn how to use it.
And the third, learn how to reflect that light.
So reflecting it seems like it's a further step
than
using it.
And the last, fourth, is learn how to be a vessel from which that light shines.
So that really is an internalization of this light that we're talking about.
The goal for the Christian.
Absolutely, positively, that is it. The light bulb went off on that one. Good one. So here we go. So it's the light up your life building blocks. Let's start understanding light in its most basic and obvious place. And folks, as we develop our subject of light, if you have any thoughts on perhaps the kinds of light you've seen in your life, some kinds of light are better than others. Some are very, very pure and good, and some kinds of light, Jonathan, actually aren't.
Oh, really?
So we have to be really careful of all that. We'd love to hear from you at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, And that means we're on right now.
And we want to hear what you have to say about today's topic. Post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. Go to ChristianQuestions.com.
So, let's go back to the beginning, understanding light, its most basic and obvious place. And remember, the first building block of lighting up our lives in a Christian sense is to find the light, identify what kind of light will guide our lives. Let's go back to the very beginning of the scriptures because, interestingly, in the very beginning, the whole thing is all about light.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void. And darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day.
And the great thing about that scripture, Jonathan, is, well, first of all, it's the beginning of the process of earthly creation.
Which is so neat.
But it really is truly all about light. It's the introduction of light as the first and most important step in all of creation.
This is an important subject, obviously.
It is. And you know, when you think about light as being the most important step in all of creation, because without light, nothing else would have happened. So you have light entering the earthly atmosphere, if you will, and that is where our human understanding of light comes from. Because remember, we understand light by standing here on planet Earth and looking up and out and seeing it.
That's right.
Okay, that's our perspective. And when you read the story of creation in Genesis, that's the perspective it's written from. From a human being's perspective, looking up and out, this is what you would have seen. So light enters, and God saw the light, that it was good. God names the light day, and the darkness he names night. And that's the first process of creation. So now in creation, you go a little bit further into the first chapter of Genesis, and what we find are there are different lights for different tasks. And again, that's kind of fascinating when you're just examining the whole idea of light. Genesis 1, 14 to 19.
Then God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the expanse of heaven to give light on the earth." And it was so.
So it's talking about let there be lights, plural, in the heavens, and in the separation of the day from the night. And so when, you know, essentially it's God speaks these things into reality, it says, "And it was so." So what is the process? Let's go to verses 16 to 19.
God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of heaven to give light to the earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day.
So you have this process of the separation and the definition of the greater light, the sun, and the lesser light, the moon. Now those people who are Bible skeptics are going to say, aha, look at how foolish that is. We know the moon is not a light. And yes, we do know that. We know that. But to the naked eye, from the human perspective, when you look up at the moon, is it bright or is it not?
It is.
It's a light because it reflects the sun. And we're going to get into that a little bit further. But again, it's giving us creation from the standpoint of a human being looking around. This is what you would have seen. This is what you would have observed. But in these scriptures, Jonathan, there are three distinct lights, two of which are our light sources. And, you know, I'm using the moon as a source of light because it truly is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I know I keep moving off subject here a little bit, but just think about it for a minute. There are nights when the light of the moon is so bright you could actually read a book.
Wow, that is true.
So
that is true.
Where does that light come from? It comes from the sun reflected off of the moon, and interestingly, reflection is one of the processes we must learn for light. So I'm just gonna it's kind of interesting
that
stuff.
That is cool.
So anyway, these three distinct lights, two of which are our light sources. What are they?
The sun, the direct light and energy that fosters all earthly life.
Okay, so you've got the sun, the source of light and warmth and energy and life. Then you have the moon,
a reflective light to guide us while darkness prevails.
And I think that is going to develop in a very, very interesting way as we discuss the idea of light from the scriptures. And then what else?
The stars. The far-off direct lights of other parts of God's universe.
And that's one of the things that I think you got to remember are the stars are the sun just in a long, long distant relationship, okay, mm-hmm. way, 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 way far away. But they are direct lights for something else. We have no idea what. Okay,
right.
And we can observe them.
And they're beautiful.
And they are. They certainly are. So do the scriptures tie in any lessons for us here in terms of the light? Because we're talking about the light of creation. It's like, well, duh, of course there's the sun and all of that. But is there something spiritual here? And I think, you know, we wouldn't ask the question unless we thought the answer was yes, right?
You're right.
So Malachi 4:2.
But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall.
So it's interesting that in Malachi it talks about the sun, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And it's talking about physically the sun rising as a picture. And when you think about healing, who do you think of?
You think of Jesus.
And Jesus was the Son of
S-O-N.
God. Yes. So it's interesting that the Son, S-U-N, really does show us the Son, S-O-N.
That is neat.
And you have a sense that the brightness of the sun has a healing effect, of the literal physical sun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just as the brightness of the life of Christ has the same kind of healing effect. And I think there is a dramatic lesson and application for us as Christians as we look at that. So you've got that Malachi scripture that talks about the sun almost as though it's got a personality.
Right.
And I really think it is pointing to Jesus. And now let's take a look at Luke 1, 76 to 79. And this is this was the prophecy, I believe, given to Zacharias about his son John the Baptist.
And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, the shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
So this is interesting because as the advent of Jesus is preparing to introduce itself, John the Baptist is described in a way as going before the Lord to prepare his way. And we know the Old Testament, you know, spoke of that specifically.
Yes.
But it says, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. So again, it's giving you a sense of the physical sun as being a picture of this great light and the light of Jesus. So it's not something we're looking at and drawing this conclusion by looking at the Malachi scripture saying, well, you know, it could be. The angel tells this to Zacharias very clearly, very specifically, that the sun in the sky gives us a sense of the Son of Righteousness, the Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how bright is the light of your life? Coming up, so the sun, S-U-N, is the sun, S-O-N. What is the moon? It's not even a real source of light, so what really does it reflect? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how bright is the light of your life? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.com. And don't forget to sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition.
That is exclusively available at ChristianQuestions.com. It's a great, great service. Takes every program, puts it into a PDF file format. It's got graphics, illustrations. It's really, really cool.
It's a
stuff.
Bible study per topic. And
that's
feel
right.
Free to use it in church.
And you know what? It can help to light up your life. And that's what we're talking about today is light and Christian light and how important it is. And Jonathan, in the first segment, we were talking about light in its biggest sense. God created the earth, and he said, let there be light. And we're trying to find and identify the kind of light that we want to have guiding our lives. And we've seen some scriptural evidence that the sun that shines up in the sky in many ways is, in fact, a picture of Jesus.
The S-O-N, sun.
Right.
That
who,
is neat.
And both are life-giving, both are healing, both are powerful.
It fits so well.
It is just very, very, very cool. I should actually say it's very warm. Because anyway, at any rate, let's go a little bit further with this contrast between light and darkness. Proverbs 4, 18 and 19.
But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble.
So, again, it's interesting. There are so many scriptures. I was really surprised at how many scriptures talk about light and shining and things like that in preparing for the program. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Okay, it shines brighter and brighter. So the path of the righteous is supposed to be getting better and better and better. That's what this is saying.
So we're maturing and we're growing.
We're supposed to be maturing
and
growing.
Oh, okay.
Let's just make sure we understand that. Because sometimes we don't grow up the way we ought to. Just ask our wives. So here's the thing. So you've got this contrast between the path of righteousness and then the way of the wicked being darkness. So, you know, we're talking about darkness. And that's the time when the moon is up, right?
That's right.
Okay, so let's see if we can figure out how the moon fits into this picture. If Jesus is pictured by the sun, well, what's the moon all about? So once sin entered, sin became the standard, right? After Adam and Eve sinned, they're thrown out of the garden, and now sin is the standard by which mankind is judged. God had a plan to remove that standard, the standard of sin, over time. And one of the first steps in that plan was of necessity to identify what sin was. You can't remove something unless you know what it is you're looking for.
Right, right.
So God had to identify clearly for the sake of mankind what sin was. And in Romans 3, 19 and 20, it talks about the identification of sin. And we are getting to figuring out what the moon represents by doing this. Trust me.
Okay, here we go. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
All right. So
that's interesting.
By the law covenant that God gave through Moses to Israel. What that law was there for was to give them guidance, but in a bigger sense, it was to identify what sin was.
Mm-hmm.
It was to identify, because that's what Romans tells us it was there to do. So even in the dark, the moon is visible light to expose the darkness for what it is. The moon is a dim reflection of the sun when it can't be seen. Just as the law, just as Moses was a dim reflection of the sun of Jesus before he could be seen. Because remember, Moses himself said, you know, there's going to come after me a prophet like unto me, but greater than
greater
me.
Greater than I, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, and Moses was the picture of the law being delivered. Jesus is the actual deliverance of righteousness and healing. So when you look at the law and you look at what its accomplishment was, it was a true reflection of Jesus.
That's right. It really seems to fit that it represents the moon.
It does. So when you look at that, and it's also interesting because in, and we won't get into this today, but in the great prophecy of Jesus about his return, he mm-hmm. talks about the sun being darkened,
yes,
and the moon or the not giving off its light. I might have reversed the two, but when you look at that, you can see that the sun, the light of the gospel, the light of the law, end up not having an effect on the world.
Right.
And where are we now, people? Where are we now? I ask you. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So we see the sun, Jesus, reflected in the sunlight, if you will, and the law reflected in the picture of actually the moon that shines in a dim way during the darkness.
And it made me just think about the crucifixion, how the moon was... the sun
was darkened.
Darkened.
Yes.
That is interesting.
Yeah, because the life of Jesus was being snuffed out at that point. So now let's go quickly back to Genesis 1:5 one more time.
God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, one day.
It, kind of interesting, Jonathan, that the way the creative days are framed is it says there's evening, and then there's morning. Now, a little bit of speculation here, but what if God said there's evening and there's morning because the light of the moon, for the sake of humankind, was the first light that they saw, the light of the law.
Right.
To identify what sin was, which was literally a reflection of the sun, which was going to rise later. And, of course, we knew
Jesus
came to fulfill the law.
Right.
Evening and then morning.
Very interesting.
Kind of cool. Who knows? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. And that means we're on right now.
And if you have a smartphone, we have an app. Go to your app store and type in Christian Questions. It's a free service. And tweet us. Don't forget to tweet us at CQNet Radio.
All right. So the light that we want for our lives, Jonathan, is real simple. We want the sun, the whole sun, and nothing but the sun.
So help me God.
That's right, in its purest form. And you can put sun, S-U-N, or S-O-N. Both of those work together to give us this picture. So that's the light that we want. We want the pure light of the sun, the pure light of Jesus and the gospel. So how do we learn to use that pure light? Using the light as a tool for our strength and benefit. That's the first thing. I think scriptures give us a sense that the light that is given to us from Jesus is a tool for our own strength and our own benefit in our lives. And that's a real important thing for us to realize.
It is.
Now, before we get to that, some scriptures on that, let's go to a soundbite. And this is from Brian Tracy. He's a motivational speaker, has been for many, many, many years. He's studied positive thinking. He's like this encyclopedia of understanding when it comes to how the brain works and how to accomplish things and being goal-oriented. And this is just a short little clip about the science of positive focus from his perspective.
You see, the major difference between successful people and failures is successful people are action-oriented and failures are not. Now, if you take action, only two things can happen. What are they?
Succeed or fail.
Pretty simple. If you succeed, you do more of it. If you fail, what do?
Try something else.
You learn something and try something else. Human beings are trial and failure organisms. We trial and fail, try and fail, try and fail, try and fail, try and fail, and then try and succeed. Phil Knight, the president of Nike Shoes, says, you only have to succeed the last time.
And I like Brian Tracy because, first of all, he talks fast like
I do. Oh, he does.
Kindred spirit right there. But, he gives a sense of moving forward, taking action. And the whole point of the question, how bright is the light of your life? What we're going to find out, Jonathan, as we go through this, is the light of our lives must provoke us to action. If it doesn't, then it's not the light of our lives. It's simply light in our lives that we can choose to look at or turn off.
Ooh, we don't want that.
No, how bright is the light of your life? Not in your life, of your life. So light is a tool that can show us the way. You need to carry that light. You know, we're learning how to use the light. You need to learn to carry it. How do we know that? Psalm 119, 105 pretty much tells us,
it
right?
It sure does. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
So if you're going to walk on that dark path but you leave the lamp at home,
you're in trouble.
Carry the light.
You're going to trip. You're going to fall a
lot. That's right.
Because you're not going to see where you're going.
And the world in which we live is dark.
It is.
So if we don't carry the light of God's word, literally carry it with us, we are going to be tripping and falling all over our own feet.
Yep.
Not a good situation. So the light is a tool to show us the way. We've got to carry it. John 8:12, another scripture on that.
Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
So it's interesting that if Jesus says he's the light of the world, and then he talks about people following him, that means the light is in front of you.
Yes.
And, you know, there's an amazing thing about automobiles. They design them so that the headlights are in front.
Yeah.
Because they have to light the road in before you. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, before the advent of automobiles, was saying, I'm your headlights. I mean, that's really what he's saying. I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you're going to have the light of life. So learning how to use that light is to learn how to help it show us the right way in the paths we're going to take.
And that gives us great confidence, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. So the light is a tool that we need to carry. And it's a tool that can give us great confidence. We have to believe in that light. Psalm 27:1.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?
That is a scripture, Jonathan, of immense confidence. When you think about the
comparison.
That shows
trust. That shows so much trust.
And it shows trust in any possible circumstance.
Yeah.
It's saying, look, God's the light and my salvation. Who is there anywhere that I should be afraid of if that's true?
Nowhere.
Right.
Nobody.
The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? I don't have to worry about anything because God will. Now, does that mean that God is going to keep all hard things from happening to us?
No, not at all.
But it means,
because we need to learn and grow.
Exactly. It means that those hard things that are going to happen to us will be, if we are following the light of Jesus, will happen for the benefit of our characters.
Yes, absolutely.
So bring on the bad. I say that with fear and trepidation.
For sure.
To learn the lessons.
But so, being willing to be vulnerable and accept it.
Yeah.
That's trust.
Exactly. So now, you know, we heard from Brian Tracy. He's the picture of positivity, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's all over, you know, focus and act and do things. So we thought it might be appropriate to try to find the picture of negativity to give a contrast to that. Because,
Okay. You
know, you want to be a Christian in the line of the Brian Tracy take action sort of thing.
Right, of course.
You don't want to be a Christian in the line of our next soundbite. And this is poor little Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Yes, we're going to quote Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh on Christian Questions to make the point of how we don't want to look.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do. Let's listen.
Not much of a house, just right for not much of a donkey. End of the road. Nothing to do, and no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
I love it, because it's just so sad. He's so distraught about everything, and there just seems to be no goodness anywhere, and yet, you know, he's surrounded by goodness. He just can't see it. The point, Jonathan, is, do we at any time in our Christian lives become the Eeyore of Christianity?
I hope not.
You're good at that. So let's keep Eeyore in mind as we go further. And folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
Don't forget our website, christianquestions.com, and befriend us on Facebook.
There you go. Light is a tool that feeds us and kindles a positive outlook. You need to absorb it. Psalm 97:10-12.
Hate evil. You who love the Lord, who preserves the souls of his godly ones, he delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown like seed for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones, and give thanks to his holy name.
So, you know, light is sown like seed. Be glad in the Lord, you righteous. How can you be glad in the Lord? You have to absorb the lights that surround you. Light itself is a tool of defense. Light itself is armor. We need to wear it. These are ways to use the light. Romans 13:12-14.
The night is almost gone and day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts.
So light's a tool to show us the way. You got to carry it. It's a tool to give us great confidence. You have to believe it. It's a tool that feeds us and kindles a positive outlook. You have to absorb it. And it's a tool of defense. Light is armor. You have to wear it. Light, to use light, there's a lot of different ways we need to apply it.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject is, how bright is the light of your life? Coming up, Is there any downside to using the light of Jesus in our lives? Is a life of sacrifice worth it? And isn't a dim light enough? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how bright is the light of your life? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.com.
And Jonathan, as we discuss light, we're looking at identifying first the kind of light that we want to follow in our lives. And Jesus is shown to us to be reflected in the sun, literally.
Yes.
So that's something to say, okay, that's the biggest, brightest, best light there could possibly be. And then we want to find out how to use that light in our lives. Because it's great to identify it, but unless you use it, it doesn't have any meaning to you.
Take action.
Right. So in the last segment, we were talking about using this light, the light of Jesus, the light of the gospel, as a tool for our own strength and benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And we need that tool for our own strength and benefit. Well, we can also use that light as a tool for the strength and benefit of others. So it can not only help us, but we can use it as a tool, as a strength and benefit for others. So let's look at how to do that, the light as a tool that opens up other people's minds. And so if this is what it is, we need to reveal it. Luke 2, 25 to 33.
And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him.
So now, God's power, God's influence gave his mind a light that was above his natural ability.
Right.
It opened up his mind so he could open up the minds of others around him. Great tool being expressed to us right here.
And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him.
So again, light comes into the conversation. Simeon, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is talking about a light of revelation to the Gentiles. I mean, what energy he must have shown. He's an old, old man.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got this zeal, and this is a picture of the kind of energy that we should show in our revealing of the light of the gospel and that's in our lives, that we see, that we want to follow. A light of revelation, a new discovery for those who were previously in the dark.
Those Gentiles.
Right. So they didn't have any light, and now they do have light, and it's now coming to fruition. So again, it comes down to the energy. And, you know, light is a major source of energy.
Absolutely.
So the energy that is emitted from the light needs to be put in place. Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite from Brian Tracy, and then we'll go to the phones after that. Again, the science of positivity and focus, and he is expressing how important it is to take action and to keep after what it is you see is important.
And you know, if you read every single story of every single man or woman who's ever accomplished anything, their entire life is a lifetime of failure. It is failure, 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 outstanding success. Boy, wasn't he lucky. You'll find that successful people try far more things, and most of the things you try won't work. At least they won't work initially. So therefore, the thing is to keep trying, because you have a cybernetic organism or a mechanism built into your brain, which means every time you try anything, you learn something. You try something and you learn something, and you learn what works and you learn what doesn't work. So you find there's a direct relationship between the number of times you try and how likely it is you are to triumph.
It's interesting, because he's really saying that the physiology of the human mind is built exactly the way the scriptures describe it.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Giving us a sense of always moving forward. And again, that's the nature of light. It's strong, it's positive, and it's looking to accomplish something. It's life-giving, it's healing. All of this is what we should be following and the tool that we should be using.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Judy from Connecticut. Good morning, Judy, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, Jonathan and Rick. I've always been a positive person, and I come from a negative family. And whenever I'd go back to visit them, they would always make fun of me and call me Goody Two Shoes or Pollyanna. I would try so hard to cheer them up, and they actually resented it, and they tried to bring me down. So I had to distance myself from them. What do you feel about this?
Well, I think that, you know, what you're doing is you're trying to spread light where light isn't welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when light's not welcome, we need to know when to say, okay, you know, sometimes we do have to move on a little bit. Not to say that you cut them off, but that you realize that they're just not ready for the light that you have to shine in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So be respectful.
That's what I've always felt. I found myself reading books by Norman Vincent Peale when I was in my teens, and Wayne Dyer, and everything positive I get my hands on. And I would send them the books, and they would never read the books.
But, you know, you're obviously, you have some an energy that emanates from you that, again, a lot of times people are just not ready for it. But sometimes in people's life experiences, a door opens where they will then be ready. And when they're ready, hopefully you'll be ready as well.
Absolutely. Well, I enjoy your show. I've been tuning in when I'm not working. I volunteer at a nursing home, and I don't get to hear you very often, but I love your show.
Well, you can, you know, download this the app for your smartphone, and you can take us with you in your pocket if you'd like.
I wish I had one. I just have an old-fashioned phone.
Okay.
Just the telephone and the radio.
All right, then. Well, Judy, thanks so much for calling. We really appreciate
it. And thank God for you, too.
Appreciate it.
Bless
take
you.
Care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a great call, and what a practical application of what we're talking about shining the light of Christianity forward and outward. And sometimes it just, you know, sometimes it just falls on deaf ears and blind eyes. That's okay.
It doesn't mean we give up, right?
Right. It doesn't mean we stop shining.
Right.
Maybe we focus a little different direction, but it doesn't mean we stop shining.
Good.
And
good.
Always be ready to go back. So, Judy, thanks so much. God bless you in your efforts. Jonathan, light is a tool that uncovers hidden realities. Let's come to that tool. John 3:16-21.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him.
So this plan of light had been in place for all ages of man's creation, waiting for the right time. And the unfolding of that. Remember, because you had the moon only first.
That's right.
And now
law.
You have the sun, and still everybody's not lining up to say, oh, let me be a Christian. Oh, no, get, yeah, I wanted to be a Christian first. Let me go first. I mean, you're not seeing that.
No.
But again, it is the plan of salvation for all men, that either now or later the salvation appears.
He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil.
Doesn't that sound very much like what Judy was just telling
us? It really does. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God.
So here's the thing, Jonathan. There is no hiding under the brightness of the light. You know, when the light, you can't hide from it. Under the brightness of the authority of Jesus, the light makes plain what we do and who we are. And again, for all mankind, that's not necessarily a welcome thought or a welcome response at this point.
Mm-hmm, right.
But it doesn't mean that the light of Jesus is any less. It does mean, though, that the light of Jesus will shine brighter and brighter, and at some point down the road, when you have the resurrection, that's why there is a resurrection of judgment. Because for those who would not accept, it gives them the opportunity to understand. And, you know, in again, back to Judy's case, you know, perhaps some of those individuals who just don't want to hear anything will have their time later.
And oftentimes tragedy causes someone to reach out.
You're right.
And maybe, unfortunately, it takes that much to wake someone.
Right. You're right. Oftentimes it is. It's great tragedy in people's lives that help them that turn them inwardly and help them to ignore the goodness that could possibly be around them. Just like our friend Eeyore. Let's go back to Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh one more time, because he's the example of what we don't want to be. And this is a verse from a little song, Poor Eeyore, about, you know, basically nobody likes me. I'm just me. I'm just, you know. Anyway, let's listen.
Nobody wants to be my friend. What's a donkey to do? Nobody wants to be my friend, except for Winnie the Pooh. But that's all. Except for Winnie the Pooh, he's the only one.
Now, of course, Jonathan, I don't know if you know that song.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Well, just to fill you in, the next verse is, nobody wants to be my friend except for Piglet. Then nobody wants to be my friend. But that's all. But then nobody wants to be my friend except for the next character and the next character.
Okay.
So the bottom line of the song is, what he's doing is he's looking at a little thing and saying, well, that's all I've got. But what he's not doing is he's adding up all of the little things that he's got to see something big.
Ah.
And again, you know, why do we use Eeyore on Christian Questions? Because the example, Jonathan, is we can choose how we look at the life around us. And if we choose to look through the eyes of light, what we see is the brightness that the light brings. But if we choose to use the eyes of darkness, then what we see is cloudy and very difficult and scary.
Yeah. So, and that paralyzes, Rick.
So don't be the Eeyore of Christianity. Make sure that we are focused on learning to use this light as a tool for the strength and benefit of ourselves and for the strength and benefit of others. One last example of that, Jonathan, in this segment, in this hour. Light is a tool that reveals the most important parts of Christ-likeness. We have to apply it. Okay, it's great to have it revealed, but unless you apply it, like Brian Tracy was saying, take action.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you apply it, it's meaningless. It's just head knowledge. And head knowledge is wonderful, but after a while it just clogs up your brain, and you need to have it apply in your heart. 1 John 2:8-11.
On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining.
So there's a process here.
Yes.
Darkness is passing away. True light is shining. You're on the road. You're on a roll. You've got momentum. You're taking action. This is all the things that we've been talking about.
The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now.
So John is telling us unequivocally that light, to be in the light, to learn to use the light, is not just something that you figure out inside of your own head, but something that you have to apply in every part, every aspect of your life.
The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
So there, and again, when you see the darkness has blinded their eyes, and there are several scriptures that help us understand that, that is letting us know that God's plan is big enough to realize that they've been blinded by something outside of themselves and be given an opportunity later. Because that's the nature of true, pure light. So if we abide in light, what we say and what we do will be in accord with the light. And again, Jonathan, as we wrap up this hour, you know, we had mentioned at the beginning of the program, there's four different building blocks for having light in our lives. The first building block was what?
Find it and identify what kind of light will guide your life.
And the second building block that we just talked about is what?
Learn how to use that light.
In the second hour, folks, it's learn how to reflect that light and then learn how to be a vessel from which that light shines. It's different than using it, than appreciating it. It's learning how to be the city that's upon a hill, to be the light of the world. Not to have the light of the world, to be the light of the world. You have to stay with us for the second hour. If we're not on in your area, go to ChristianQuestions.com, click Listen Live, stay with us. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, it's all about light, it's all about you, it's all about the goodness of Christ. We'll be back after the news and all that, but till then, how bright is the light of your life? Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
A Maori proverb says, "Turn your face to the sun, and the shadows fall behind you." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what's in store for the second hour today?
Well, Rick, our question this morning is, how bright is the light of your life? And our theme text is Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
So it's all about light.
It is.
And it's all about the light of your life, not just the light in your life.
Right.
Big difference between those two things. And Jonathan, in the first hour, we talked about the first two of four building blocks of lighting up our lives in a Christian sense. What were those first two building blocks?
Well, Rick, the first one was find it and identify what kind of light will guide your life.
And the light that we follow is the brightest and purest light of the sun, the sun, S-U-N, and that is the sun, S-O-N, Jesus, because he, in Scripture, is reflected to us in a picture of the sun that shines in the sky.
That's right. And the second, Rick, is learn how to use that light.
So light is a multi-purpose tool for our strength and benefit as well as for others.
Take action.
It's a tool. It's something that we can use. You've got a toolbox full of tools of light that can help us in a lot of different ways and can help us to help others. That's light. And so far we have not really applied it within. Mm-hmm. We're using it as a tool to help us grow and develop and to help others and to witness to the gospel and so forth. But there's much, much, much more to light than those two tools. And now, look, those two tools took us an hour. So the next two tools are going to take us another hour. And the whole point of this is to understand the importance of making the light of the gospel, making the light of Jesus, not only something that you have access to, but something that you eventually become. Because the scripture, read the theme scripture again.
It is, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
It doesn't say you have the light of the world. It says you are the light of the world. There is massive responsibility that we're going to get to that. Before we get to the next application of light, the next building block, if you will, this next scripture should serve as a sober warning regarding the light that we choose to follow. And Jonathan, this scripture, in retrospect, should have been mentioned last week when we were doing our program on the world in chaos.
Oh, you're right.
Okay.
Oh, this is something.
Isaiah 5, 20 to 23.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right.
So, Jonathan, it's the bottom line is woe to those who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. And
isn't that... aren't we living in that world right now?
Right. When wrong looks like it's right,
my.
And right looks like it's wrong, you know that the end times have arrived.
You know it.
And Isaiah is really, really showing us a clear look at the times in which we live.
Well, Rick, don't forget the scripture. Satan appears as an angel of light, but he is all darkness.
But he has some kind of a light that people come go and follow.
Right.
And here's the danger, and I don't want to get too far off the track on this, but you know, part of Satan's light is the idea of human rights and what about me? Now, you can really take that and you can really misinterpret what I meant there.
Yeah, you could.
You could say, oh, Rick's all against human rights. No, I'm not. But what we look at is the idea that I am more important than basic morality and basic principles.
Or righteousness.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where human rights go way overboard. Human rights are appropriate, they're just, and they're necessary. But when it becomes all about me and sacrificing righteousness and morality,
oh, no.
Then we are in darkness, even though it looks like light. That's really good point. That's really what that is. So we've got to learn how to reflect that light. When we reflect something, we're standing in its path, and we're being used by that which we reflect to pass its message, be it a good message or an evil one. You can reflect evil just like you can reflect good to those around us. As in the last scripture, we may not be the one substituting darkness for light, but are we in any way reflecting that substitution? And this is something, Jonathan, we have to be really careful of. Because what is it that we reflect back to the people around us in our lives? Are we reflecting any of the darkness that's around us that is supposed to, that looks like light but really is darkness? Or are we reflecting only the true light of Jesus and the true light of the gospel?
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for talking about such a beautiful, critical subject. You took my scripture, one of my scriptures earlier. I love that, Psalms 97, verse 11, 12, where light is sown for the righteous, truth or light is sown for the righteous. Anyway, that is such a beautiful, thoughtful scripture. But I was impressed by Judy's call earlier.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we not always appreciate morality. You just mentioned the word morality, and it's not always appreciated. A cute story I want to share with you very quickly. Years ago, there were seven of us on the negotiating committee. We were, you know, a committee negotiating with the company for a new contract.
Mm-hmm.
And we would caucus, what you call a caucus.
Yeah.
We go in our hotel room, you know, like take a break.
Right.
And somebody would tell a story. So one of the ladies says, she had some dirty story to tell, obviously. She says, I will only tell the story if Julius leaves the room. Thank you so much. God bless.
Take care, Julius.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And see, that's an evidence of a reflection of light.
Yes, it is.
Because, again, and that's a perfect example. When we sit and we absorb those things, what are we reflecting back? The ability to absorb those things, and we're basically saying, yeah, it's okay. And, you know, the fact that she wouldn't tell the off-collar story unless Julius left the room gave you evidence that said there's light here that I don't want to defy, if you will.
So has that happened to you?
Yeah, there you go. Or are we reflecting just what seems to be around us?
Ooh.
So very important to learn how to reflect true light. Now, Jonathan, for the next soundbite, we want to go to a song by Ginny Owens, and this is a song about, it's called Be Thou My Vision. And Ginny Owens has been blind since she was 3 years old. She's a songwriter and singer, and it just gives you a sense. She sings about light that she cannot see physically, but she can see spiritually. Be Thou My Vision, the first verse.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light.
Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. And that just gives you a sense of, again, this is a woman who's blind, but she sees the light in a very, very dramatic way.
Wow.
And she reflects that light in what she says and does. How can we be a reflector of the true light of Christ? Well, first we need to seek and be familiar with the source of that light. Psalm 89, 14 to 16.
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, thy walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted.
So, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. That gives you a sense of, okay, here's the source of the light. Here's what it's based on. Here's what it's built upon. Walking in his light affords us the opportunity to reflect his light. You can't reflect it unless you're walking in its path.
Right.
If it's not shining on you, then you have no ability to reflect it.
Exactly.
What do we allow to shine on our lives? Do we allow the darkness of the world to shine and therefore reflect back to others? Or is it just the light of the gospel? Let's go to the second verse from Ginny Owens' song, Be Thou My Vision.
Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart.
And it's interesting, riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise, thou mine inheritance now and always. What she's telling us is always keep the most important thing the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we learn how to reflect the gospel of Christ.
So what are your priorities?
Exactly, exactly. And not just on Sunday when you go to church.
That's right.
But what are your priorities in every day of your life? 2 Corinthians 4:3-6.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
So again, you have a sense of the battle of good versus evil, of light versus dark, being shown in this scripture. We've seen it come up so many times already in this program. But this battle is saying that the king of this world, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ.
And in the scripture, it also shows that Jesus reflects everything that God is.
Right. So from that reflection, we get the strength of his light and the light of the Messiah, and we should be able to reflect that back as well. But we can't reflect it unless we are built to reflect it, unless we're looking to reflect it, because there's a lot of other things that seem to come into our lives before that. Let's finish that verse in 2 Corinthians 4.
For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, and ourselves as your bond servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ.
So again, preach Jesus, be bound to that message because it reflects from the inside out. It's got to get into you and to preach Jesus, not yourself, but Jesus. How often in churches do we see people going so far off the pathway, mm-hmm. and getting tied up in it's all about me, the gospel of prosperity. It's the gospel of Jesus. It's not the gospel of prosperity.
No, it's okay to be a copycat if it's Jesus that you're copying.
There you go. Very good. One more scripture is children of light. And that's interesting. We have the expectation to follow and imitate the steps of Jesus. Just like you said, be a copycat. Be a copy Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-8.
But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation.
So it's interesting, you know, the idea, and you look at a family, you look at a little boy, and a little boy following his father around. What does a little boy do?
He imitates him.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Dad does it, I'm going to do
it. Exactly.
And that's the way we need to look at Jesus. We need to be willing to copy him because we are sons of the light, sons of the day. And in the day, there is no darkness.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how bright is the light of your life? Coming up, what is the difference between reflecting the light of Jesus and bearing the light of Jesus? Are we called to do both? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how bright is the light of your life? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.com. And if you would like to write us, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320.
All right. And also, if you'd like to email us, you can do so at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. So, Jonathan, we're talking about reflecting the light of the gospel, the light of Jesus. And that, we talked about understanding what it is. We talked about how to use it, you know, in a practical sense. But now learning to reflect it. We're getting deeper and deeper into life, really.
Yeah, you're right.
Because
you're
if
right.
you're reflecting something, you're standing purposefully in its path so that it can bounce off of you and go to other places.
Right.
And
that's good.
We can reflect goodness or darkness. We got to be really, really careful. We can reflect the false light of Satan or the true light of the gospel. What is it that we are reflecting? Realize that true fellowship can only grow as we grow closer to the likeness of Jesus. You know, we always talk about fellowshipping with other Christians and, you know, how good that is.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly and truly, the only way for it to grow in depth and power is to grow closer to Christ. 1 John 1:7.
But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin.
So walking in the light, that the closer you get to the source of light, the closer you get to one another. It's like the spokes on a wheel.
Yes.
Jesus is the hub.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you get closer to the person on the other side? You get closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. So very, very simple and straightforward. So we're talking about reflecting the light. Now we want to begin to think about going to the next step and to sort of introduce that. Here's a great quote from Felix Adler.
The hero is the one who kindles a great light in the world, who sets up blazing torches in the dark streets of life for men to see by. The saint is the man who walks through the dark paths of the world, himself a light.
And I think that we in our world forget what is described as the saint here and focus much more on what is described as the hero.
You're right, Rick.
Now,
you are right.
Both of these things are very, very valuable.
Yes.
But when you think about what he says the saint is, he's the man who walks through the dark paths being a light. Being the light. Our theme scripture, you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are that light. So how do we transition from just reflecting the light to actually being the light?
Well, Rick, the parable of the 10 virgins reminds me, first of all, you need the oil, you need the
right.
wick, but you need to trim and burn as a faithful follower of Jesus.
Sounds like you're working out. Trim and burn. That's a spiritual workout. That's
you got to exercise.
That's right. You got to exercise the spirituality to be able to reflect and then be the light. And that's really what we've got to get to here. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, is a verse that transitions us from reflecting light to actually being light.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
See, that's reflecting.
For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you.
So his glory will appear upon you. So we have been reflecting the light up until now. Now, verse 3 of Isaiah 60.
Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising.
See the difference? You have the reflection, the reflection, the reflection. And then in verse 3, it's now they will come to your light. So now you've been reflecting so often and so well. Now you are a source of light
which is of Jesus.
Which is that city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid.
Yes.
So let's go back to the third verse of that song from Ginny Owens. It's just so inspirational in terms of a subject like this, talking about, like, be thou my vision. Again, remember, this is a woman who's been blind since 3 years old. And Jonathan, when she writes music, she said sometimes it takes her 3, 4, or 5 years to write a piece of music. But
she does it all.
Yeah. She's just got this patience and the spiritual perception. Let's listen.
King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befalls, still
talking about having a victory won, but still be my vision, O ruler of all. And you know, it just gives you a sense that there's more to it, Jonathan, than just learning about the gospel, than just being able to repeat back the gospel, than just showing up every so often at church to represent the gospel.
Living the gospel.
How do you do that? How do you become a vessel from which the light shines? And that's really what we're going to get to. We're going to be getting to our theme scripture finally in this section here. To be a vessel of the light is to have found it, to have understood it, to have applied it, and to have reflected it. Now maturity dictates that we carry it, that we become its very conduit as a witness to all, that it shines literally through you.
That is a great responsibility.
It is, and it's very difficult to get to.
Yes.
To where you become the light. Psalm 37:4-6.
Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday.
See, he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. So you have this sense of, well, how do you get there? Well, the scripture starts out by saying, delight yourself in the Lord. And when you truly delight in something, it's not something that you just do once in a while every so often.
Not at all.
I mean, look, I delight in eating chocolate. I do it as often as possible.
Okay, Rick.
The whole idea is, if it's something that you delight in, that really truly motivates your life, it's going to have an effect on every part of your life all of the time.
Well, why wouldn't it, when you look around at the world in the way it is?
Right.
Oh,
right.
If
right.
it doesn't inspire you to look to God and Jesus, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Where are we? You know, Jonathan, in the first hour we were playing a little bit of Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
Showing the negative sense. Well, mm-hmm. Eeyore's off our stage here now. And now we're really focusing on music for the purpose of inspiring us to really absorb what it means to stand for and to stand in and to be the light, to be that city on a hill that cannot be hidden. The next song, Jonathan, we're going to play the first verse of is a song by Jenny Phillips, and it's called A Light on a Hill.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
That is Matthew 5:13-16. That's what we are. That's our job. That's our responsibility, to be a light on a hill.
You are just one light in the darkness, traveling by faith. Just one light is hope to the ones who've lost their way.
Inspiring or what?
Oh, it is.
The idea that, look, you're just one light in the darkness, but just one light is hope to those who have lost their way. Because if there is any light at all, people will gravitate towards it when they see that they're in darkness. See, now, remember, the scriptures tell us that most people don't even know they're in darkness because they've been blinded.
That's right.
But for those who see that they're in darkness, what grips us is fear. And what challenges that fear is light. How do they see light? And folks, the question is, are they seeing light because you are in their lives? That's the point of being a true follower of Christ. And Jonathan, you know, the idea is to be this light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. A city is full of lots of lights.
Oh, you're right.
And Jesus here is not talking to just one of his disciples. This is in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to his disciples as a whole, therefore to us.
As a unit.
Yeah, saying,
okay.
You all are the light of the world. You all are the city set on a hill. You cannot be hidden. That's the way you must live your lives. So at the very beginning, he's giving us a sense of what's required of us as true followers of Christ. So, folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about light. We're talking about its application in our lives and how do we become the light of Christ. Our number is 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9, and that means we're on right now.
Out from the dark ages and into the light of today. Join us 24/7 at ChristianQuestions.com.
You got that right. The culmination of the Christian experience is to be the light that the world can see and hope in. Let's go back to Matthew 5, picking up with verse 15 and 16.
Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house.
I mean, you don't light a light and then not use it. You know, we're taught that when you leave a room, you turn the lights off because nobody's in there to see the light, need the light.
There's some people in my household. I keep telling them, turn off the light.
But the point is, when you come into the room, you turn the light on so
right.
You can see.
Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
I think we found a sensitive spot in Jonathan's life. And the idea is, let your light shine before men in such a way that they look at you and see something different. They look at us and they say, that person somehow or other is different. And you know, Jonathan, I'm sure you've had experiences in life where people, you may not have preached a word of the gospel to them.
It has happened, and I'm like, how do they know I have faith?
Right.
I'm amazed how the Lord's Spirit truly works.
To truly be a Christian is to be the light of Christ. Not to have the light of Christ, not to appreciate the light of Christ, not to just love the light of Christ, but it is to be the light of Christ. One more scripture, Jonathan, then we're going to, well, actually, you know what? Let's do the scripture. Luke 11, 33 to 36.
No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it away in a cellar, nor under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light.
So in Matthew, Jesus deals with it. In Luke, he comes back in another time and deals with it again. This is an important point because Jesus is repeating himself on it, saying you don't put light in the cellar. You put it where people are going to need it. Christians should not be secluded from the world or even hidden in plain sight. We should shine the light of truth. You know, your Christianity should not be something that's covert. It should be overt. It should be outside, not inside. Not under some bushel basket where people can't see it, but it's really shining. Hey, I'm shining bright. I don't want anybody to know, but I'm shining bright. Oh, yeah, look at this light burning, and yet nobody can see it. That's not what we're called to do, and that's not what we're called to be. Jonathan, let's actually go to the phone and see if we can get this call in this
second.
All
right. Well, we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you, too.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You, too.
We have Proverbs 15:30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the body. Grade school science tells us that when we see a color, Photons of light are reflected off an object and processed by our retinas in our brain. We could see green. Another creature could see gray. The brain chooses. Genesis 1:4. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. The Christian chooses how to see with God's light. The neighbor is not bad, but struggling to be good. The situation is not lost, but has hope. Life is not gray, but the rainbow of God's promise. 1 Peter 2:9, that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you guys.
Take
you
care.
Too. Great, great, great scriptures on that. And Jonathan, we don't have time to finish reading this text, but it talks about the eye of the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. In the bonus material of Seeker Rewind this week, we've got some extra material on that concept. What does it mean to have your eye clear? What does it mean to have your life full of light? So sign up for Seeker Rewind, the full edition, at ChristianQuestions.com. Access the bonus material and find out more about that. Folks, it's about being the light of Christ.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject is, how bright is the light of your life? Coming up. So if we are to be this light, then shouldn't God take away the obstacles so we can shine?
Yeah.
That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how bright is the light of your life? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 7 to 9. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net, .com, I mean. And don't forget, we have an app, a free app for smartphones. Just go to your app store and type in Christian Questions, and it opens up the whole world of Christian questions to you.
So don't forget to take care of that. Take care of that item of business. It will help you in carrying light. Jonathan, you know, during one of the breaks, you and I were talking about the idea of being a vessel from which that light shines is really to be obsessed.
Yeah.
To be obsessed with the light of Christ. And
this one thing I do,
right.
Kind of.
Jesus was obsessed.
Yes.
With the light of the gospel. He says, you know, my meat, my nourishment is to do the will of my Father.
That's right.
That's what moves me. That's what makes me tick. The Apostle Paul, like you said, this one thing I do.
Yeah.
You know, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. We have these examples of obsession with the light. In order to be a light on a hill that gives hope, you have to have that kind of obsession. Let's go back to the second verse of the Jenny Phillips song, A Light on a Hill.
In a world that's lost and lonely, heaven works through you, bringing hope to those who are searching for the
people are looking for truth. Truth is found in light. How are we expressing? How are we shining out the light of the gospel in our lives? How are we a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden collectively together? Are we fulfilling our responsibility? To be, you know, you said at the end of the last segment, Jonathan, you know, shouldn't God, you know, we got such an important job. Shouldn't he just, like, clear the path for us?
Make it easier, right?
That's right. Take the obstacles out of the way and let us shine, brother. Let us shine on.
It doesn't work that way, Rick.
No, it doesn't. To be the light is to shine through the imperfections of our flesh. That's what it really is about. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11.
But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves.
So that right there gives us a sense that this treasure is in an earthen vessel, so we realize that, hey, it's not all about me.
And the glory goes to God.
Right, not ourselves.
We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body.
So, yes, we have trouble. And what the apostle is saying here is we not only have trouble, we have lots of trouble.
Yeah.
Not only do we have lots of trouble, we have lots of big trouble. But he's saying, why do we have it? So that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our body. And let's finish the verse.
For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh.
So the obstacles of life are there to continually press our focus toward the glow of the life of Jesus. And again, folks, this is obsession. We need to be obsessed with the light of Jesus, with not only looking at it and understanding what it is, not only learning how to use it as a tool, not only reflecting it in our daily experiences, but actually being a source of the light of Jesus, which is deeper than just reflecting it.
Yes, it is.
And that's how you can be the light on the hill. That's how you can be that light that cannot be hid. You and me and each of us, as we follow after Christ, can show the world a hope that they just don't understand exists.
Interesting, Rick. Humility. Without humility,
there's no light.
You got it.
Yeah.
And so God gets a credit. Jesus gets a credit. But we're still asked to do this.
And we're still asked to be the light.
Yeah.
So you're right. Humility opens the door so light can be planted within us.
You got it.
That's what happens. It's not enough to know the light or reflect it, like I was just saying. This next scripture tells us we have to literally become the light. Ephesians 5, 6 through 16. We'll take it in some pieces.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light.
You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were formerly darkness. Look, you weren't all... the scriptures are really good at reminding us, hey, you know what, Rick? You're not all that great.
Remember where you came from?
Yeah. Remember where you came from. Remember what you're made of.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And just keep those things in mind. And now realize that even in spite of where you came from and what you're made of, I want you to be a vessel.
It's like being adopted.
Yes.
You are like you were once a child of darkness, of Satan, right?
Yep.
But now you've got a new name, the name of light.
So we are, and that's what it says, you are light in the Lord. It kind of, it gives
wow.
us that name. So folks, it's not just appreciating. See, I think, Jonathan, that it's I won't say it's easy, but it's common to sort of recognize the light of Jesus. It's common to sometimes use the tools of the light of Jesus. And it's common to sometimes reflect the light of Jesus. It is uncommon to be the light of Jesus.
Mm.
It is uncommon to be. And we do that by having been adopted and been renamed light, for, if you will. Ephesians 5, let's go back down to verses 9 through 12.
For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret.
So what this is doing is this is giving us instruction on what it looks like when you are the light. And it says, you know, you learn what's pleasing to the Lord. You don't participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. That reminds me of what Julia said in the first hour about telling the off-caller joke.
Yes.
And the person wouldn't tell it with Julia's in the room.
Right, right.
That is not participating in the deeds of darkness. Realize, and Jonathan, this is a tough one, but sometimes when there's a conversation that goes south, you know, that shouldn't be happening, if we're maybe not having the conversation, but we're sort of involved in the circle where mm-hmm. the conversation is happening, if we don't say something, then we are participating in that conversation going the wrong way.
That's a lot of responsibility.
That's not light.
No.
That's not being light.
You're
that's
right.
Reflecting the darkness that's around us. Think about that, because that's a tough one. That's a tough one. We have to live up to this new name because it's a royal name. Again, Ephesians 5, now 13 to 16.
But all these things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil."
So, because light exposes everything. So we have our mission, therefore, exposed before us. And we need to, in the King James Version, in verse 16, it says, redeeming the time. You know, make the most of our time because the days are evil. It's a dark time and a dark place that we live, but we need to be able to shine the light. Christ can shine upon us as we shine our light of the gospel. In this way, we will always have this light in abundant supply to be able to freely give it to all.
Well, Rick, it said be careful
yes.
in your walk. Well, should we just go around with high beams on in everyone's face? Here's the light.
Yeah, take it, sucker. I got the light of Christ, and you're going to like it, and you're going to take it, and you're going to see it. No, sometimes, Jonathan, we can the light of Christ can be abused.
Yes.
It can be applied in the wrong ways. Look at how Jesus acted and reacted. Look at how the apostles acted and reacted, and they used wisdom.
Wise as serpents, but gentle as doves.
And they used humility in expressing the light of God through Christ.
I'd rather see a sermon than hear one.
That's right.
Some
that's
of those
right.
ideas.
So you're right. You can't be the high beam Christian, which is blinding those that are coming towards you.
Right.
Rather, you need to show them the light and have it in such a way that it looks good. It looks right. Even if they don't like it,
mm-hmm.
again, there's something about it that leaves a mark in people's minds. And I truly believe that happens. I truly believe that no matter how deeply vested people are in darkness, when they see true light, it makes a mark in their mind.
Mm.
They choose not to adhere that mark at this point, but it does make a mark in their mind. Let's continue, Jonathan. We're running out of time here. Finally, what does one look like who exudes the light of Christ in the gospel? Well, 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12.
"But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light."
You know, the interesting thing about this program, Jonathan, is almost every single scripture we have read talks about light.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every single one has that word in it. And here, again, you've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and it shows that the light has so many different facets. You know, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. All of these things are different parts of what it means to be the light of Christ, to be that city set upon a hill.
"For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy."
And that reminds me of what you just said. You said a couple minutes ago about the idea of the humility, ruling, and knowing who you are, knowing where you came from.
Yeah.
We can be the light of God through Christ by mercy only, by mercy and grace. Mm. Not because we're so good,
right.
But we are so filled with the grace and mercy of God upon us. This light is the embodiment of mercy and grace. Verses 11 through 12 of 1 Peter 2.
"Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation."
Now, this scripture, Jonathan, is enormous, because what it's saying is, first of all, keep your behavior not marginally good amongst the Gentiles.
Excellent.
Not okay amongst the Gentiles.
No, excellent.
So that the things in which they slander you will eventually come to light. Not now, not in this world, not in this age.
In the day of visitation.
Because.
In the kingdom of God.
Those who live in darkness don't necessarily like light. That's okay. Doesn't mean you don't shine the light.
Right.
What it means is you shine the light and it goes upon those who are blinded, but they will remember. And in the day of visitation, they will look upon that and say, "Now I get what they were showing me and I didn't want to see.
And now I can move forward and let my own light shine then.
And now I can glorify God."
Yes.
Now I can glorify God in how all of this works. So, folks, as we wrap up this program today, it really is a simple, simple thing. The light of Christ needs to be recognized. It needs to be understood. It needs to be used in terms of the tools that it gives us, and it needs to be reflected by us. And then, as we grow in maturity, we need to become the light on the hill. We need to be that glorious light that that gives hope to the world. For Jonathan and Rick and Christian Questions, be the light on the hill. Be Christ-like. Be obsessed with it. Till next week.